not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Amen. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be reflecting on the theme of experiencing the presence of God. One of my concerns is that we should understand that it is possible to experience the presence of God in the most mundane and ordinary of situations and places. Now, last week, we reflected on the sharing, receiving and sharing of communion, recognizing that as we do so, and even though we share communion every other week, and we go through the same, in a sense, the same routine week after week after week, still, there is this wonderful, beautiful mystery about receiving and sharing communion, the bread and the cup together. It is a place and an opportunity where we experience God. Now, it may be, of course, that we regard it simply as routine. It may be that we regard it simply as, okay, I'm ticking the box. You know, it's first Sunday of the month, communion, third Sunday of the month, communion. We're just doing it. And of course, we can regard it in that way. But it may be that our eyes are open, our heart is opened, and we see that what we do when we share the bread and the cup is we can experience the presence of God. God is there, present, ready to meet with us. Today, very practical, experiencing the presence of God as we are generous. And I like this description. Free in giving or sharing. Noble, open-handed. Generosity. Our passage that I've read, 2 Corinthians 9, is about generosity. And it is in the act of giving that we can experience the presence of God. Do you believe that? In the act of giving, we experience the presence of God. Now, earlier, we went through this list, and I won't put it on the screen now. I'll just read it through. And the important thing is, with this list, is that some of them, they're very ordinary things. And I want us to understand that the degree to which we extend ourselves for others is most often the degree to which we will experience the presence of God. It's very easy for us to live in some kind of cocoon, you know, and we can say with John Donne, you know, I am an island. Well, John Donne said, no man is an island. But we can live like an island and say, well, I've got everything I need. I don't need to extend myself. And God, in a sense, is always here saying, just come, open yourself up and give from what you have. And one of the things we need to do is recognize, what do I have that I can give? Nobody's asking any of us to give what we do not have. And that's why we shouldn't always compare ourselves to other people, because somebody else's gifts are not the gifts we have. The abilities we have are not what they have. And they have more money than us. And they have opportunity to give food, but we've got a spare room in our house that we can host somebody, and so on. And we're all very different, but we all need to reflect and say, what do I have? What abilities, what skills, what gifts, what do I have that I can give? So it may be time or food. It may be just that simple smile that we offer to somebody. It may be that we listen. And that's a very powerful thing, isn't it? To be listened to. Just this idea of connecting with people we may not ordinarily connect with. We may have money. We may have money. And the question to ask is, why does God give you the money that you have? And I know within our economic setup, within our capitalist structures that we live in, and we imbibe capitalism, and we don't like it, but we do. We imbibe capitalism. The gospel of Jesus Christ refutes capitalism. That's the reality. Because Jesus says, I'm giving you that you might give it away. And that clashes with our culture. But money, we can help the disabled. We can give encouragement. And I've said this before, in terms of giving encouragement, sometimes I wonder whether we have this idea that there is a limited supply of encouragement in the world. So that you've got to be careful and you've got to be a bit choosy about who you encourage. Because what if I encourage Louis and he doesn't need encouragement? You know, and I've wasted some of my supply of encouragement. And I need to encourage Andrew or somebody else. And, well, I won't have any encouragement left. And, of course, that's nonsense. Because there is an unlimited supply of encouragement. And yet sometimes I feel, you know, sometimes I go home and Sarah, who's not able to be with us, says, did you have any comments? Any encouragement? Sometimes not a word has been spoken of encouragement to me. Now, I'm not asking, in a sense, for encouragement, but that is just a reality. And then I reflect upon that and think, how many other people are doing stuff and not a word is spoken to them? And it's such a simple thing, such a powerful thing, you know? And it is as we give encouragement, we encounter God. So, encouragement. We can pray for people. As Bob suggested, we can fill up a shoebox at Christmas. And it's such a simple thing. And yet it's a way of just meeting with God. God is waiting for us to extend ourselves. We can love. We can offer transport. If you've got a car and somebody else hasn't, then offer to share with them. Open the door for somebody. That was a practical thing, wasn't it? Just open a door for somebody. Acknowledge people. You can teach if that is your gift or your skill. You can do somebody's washing, whether that's washing their clothes in their washing machine, in your washing machine, or washing up after a meal or something like that. You can phone somebody, speak to somebody, translate something, you know, and help explain to those who perhaps don't, for whatever reason, don't catch it the first time. Offer a bed for the homeless or something. Pass on things that we don't need, and so on. And these are all practical things. And if we are generous, we don't normally regard it as a sacrament. But I want to suggest maybe it is a holy thing. And that's what a sacrament is. It's a holy thing. Generosity is a sacrament. It's a sacred, holy thing that we can all do. And there's not one of us here today who can't go away and say, do you know what, I do have something that I can give. And I can make a difference to somebody else's life. And I can journey with God, because God is a generous God. Okay, I'm going to whack these five things up and then just talk through them with our passage. So let's, if you've got your Bible still open, this is page 1164. And it begins with, it seems like a saying or a proverb or something. Remember this, the passage begins. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. And then it goes on and says, each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to bless you abundantly. God is able to bless you abundantly. And why are we able to say that generosity, giving whatever it is, simple little things or bigger things, why is it that we're able to say that generosity is a sacrament, a holy thing? It is because God is generous. God is generous. And God has an unlimited supply that he wants to give to us. And when we give, we are reflecting God in our generosity. And we need to bear that in mind. Why are we doing this? Because we've been told to do it. No, we do it because that's what God is like. That's what God is like. And we experience his presence because we're reflecting him. And just like a light can shine on a mirror and then out to someone else. Now, I don't know if a mirror ever experiences the light in what way. So scientists no doubt can tell me. How does a mirror experience the light as it's reflected? As we are generous, we are reflecting the generosity of God. We receive and we give it and we experience God's goodness as we give. It's not just for us, but it is. We give else. And then there's cheerfulness. God loves a cheerful giver. You know, when the offering went round this morning, how many of you were smiling, thinking, yeah, this is good? No? Not sure about that one. Isn't that great? God loves a cheerful giver. And I love the story that is told of Moses and the people of Israel when they are journeying through the wilderness. And Moses calls the people together and says, okay, we are going to put together a tabernacle, a meeting place here in the wilderness, where we can meet with God. And it has to be flexible. We have to be able to put it up and take it down, because God will call us to move on, but we need to be able to build this. And Moses says to the people, give from what you have. Give from what you have. And the bit that's not there is, give from what you have, not from what you haven't got. You know, give from what you have. And on the first day, the people bring all sorts of things. And they've obviously all scouted around. Now, some of them will remember when they were set free from slavery in Egypt. Do you remember how they left Egypt laden down with the riches of Egypt? Do you remember that story? They didn't come out of Egypt poor. They came out laden down with the riches of Egypt. The Egyptian people tried to get rid of them and were giving them gold and silver and precious things and materials. Just go, just go. And so on day one, the people gather and they give out of what they have. And then day two, the people come back again. And they give again. And day three, they come back again. And they give again. And you can see something extraordinary is happening. And it's this word about being contagious. Now, I struggled over how to describe this. But it's this sense. And it's a dangerous thing. I just need to put a warning alongside this. If you start to give, you'll find you won't be able to stop giving. That's the warning. The reason sometimes we don't give is because we know it's kind of contagious. You know, we give, but we give cautiously because we know we might catch it. We might catch the joy of giving and having given once. We think, God, that was all right. I'll do that again. And we give again, just like the people with Moses. They came back the next day and they gave again. And then they went home and thought, oh, that was all right. I'll go home and I'll find what else can I give. And they came back a day after day after day. They kept on coming back because they'd caught something that was wonderful. And then eventually the people who are administrating the building of the tabernacle go to Moses and say, Moses, tell the people to stop giving. We've got too much stuff. And what a great place to be in. And there is that cheerfulness. There is that cheerfulness. Just with that, and it becomes contagious. But I do put that with a warning. Once you start to give with an open heart, you might find you can't stop. But there you go. It's transformative as well. That was the next thing on this. And here in verse 9, as it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. It's transformative. And this, of course, is a quote from Psalm 112 that Graham read to us earlier. These people that the psalmist describes, they've freely scattered their gifts. This sense of freedom, this joyful giving of what they have to the poor. And then it says, their righteousness endures forever. Another way of translating the word here that is translated righteousness is justice. Their act of justice will last forever. Now, justice is about things being in their right place. Everything being put back like a jigsaw at the moment within the system in which and culture in which we live. Everything is kind of shoved out of place, which is why we get racism and sexism and abuse and crime and all sorts of things, because everything's out of place. Justice, it's not about punishing people. It's about bringing everything back into its right place, acknowledging the intrinsic value of every living creature, and so on. And it's justice. And when we give to the poor, that's justice. It's about saying, I have more than enough, so I will give some to the poor because they don't have enough. And it's like the jigsaw pieces are coming back into their right place. That's why Jesus said, as I often quote, Jesus said, if you have two coats, give one to someone who hasn't. That is justice. And you think, what have they done to deserve it? Never mind what they've done to deserve it or not. It's about justice. And so the writer here, the Apostle Paul says, quoting the psalm, they've freely scattered their gifts to the poor. And their righteousness, or their justice endures forever. In other words, they've changed something within culture. They've changed something within their community and within their society by giving to the poor, by saying, things should not be like this. Things should be changed. And I'm going to begin. I'm going to give what I have. You know, we shouldn't walk down the street and ignore each other. We should acknowledge each other and smile. You know, that lone person who comes in and nobody speaks to, we think, no, that's not right. I'm going to speak to them. That's what I can give. That person who's struggling, I'm going to listen to them. And it's all this sense of justice, bringing the jigsaw pieces back in the way that God always has wanted them to be. And that means, it does mean that some people will have less than they started with, and other people will end up with more than they started with. But it seems to me that that's the way God works. And he gives to us who have nothing of his store. And so it is transformative if we grasp a hold of this giving, this generosity, and we experience the joy and the pleasure
of God as we do so. Now, I've already spoken about it being contagious and that warning alongside there. And then it goes on about thankfulness. Verse 10, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of food and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. So there, God is reminding us, look, sometimes I guess we don't give and we're not generous, even though we know that it's sacred and holy and it's a good thing and we encounter God. Sometimes we think, but I'll have less than I had before. I won't have enough. And the Apostle Paul is saying, look, he who supplies seed for the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed. In other words, God will always give to you plenty. He'll give to you everything you need. Don't worry about it. You will be enriched in every way, verse 11, so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving. And then it goes on in verse 12 again, overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ. And then at the end, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. There is this, we are thankful for all that God has given to us. And as we reflect God, reflect the character of God in giving whatever it is, very practical, simple things, what we do, we reflect the character of God. We experience God. And we are thankful for that. But other people are thankful as well for that. So that's all I really want to share this morning. And I hope we caught some of that. The act of generosity is an opportunity to experience the presence of God. And I trust that each one of us, we can go away and think, okay, there's no excuse, really. There must be something that all of us can do and just build it into our lives as a habit. Say, Lord, every morning we can say, Lord, today I'm going to do this or that or the other. And tomorrow, Lord, I want you to remind me to do it again. Simple things that make a big difference and in which we encounter the presence of God. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for the abundance of your goodness and your kindness towards us. Father, thank you that you are not lacking in any good thing. But you open up, as it were, your storehouses and you abundantly bless us. You lavish your goodness upon us. Gracious Father, we do pray again for your blessing, but we pray for your prompting. We pray for just the help, the nudging of your Holy Spirit so that we will give in whatever way. And we won't do it and kind of parade it around for other people to see, but just humbly and simply, quietly, we'll do what we can. Because, Father, we do it for you and we do it in your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.